Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening thankful for the day that you've blessed us with. We're thankful, Father, for this time you've allowed us to gather together to study your word, to hear another message brought from your word, sing songs of praise to your name. Heavenly Father, we pray as we go through this time of worship that you would forgive us of those shortcomings that we have in our life, that you will help us to recognize those things that help us to follow the path that leads away from those temptations, Father. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that have been mentioned as sick this evening. We pray that your hand will be upon them and that if it be your will, that you'll return them to better portions of their health. Our Father, we pray for those that are traveling or will be traveling. We pray for their safe journeys. Father, we as well pray for those that serve in our country's military, those that are stationed overseas. We pray for their protection. We pray, Father, for their swift return. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the group of Christians that meet here. We're thankful for the elders. Father, we pray that you would be with them, that you would give them wisdom and their guidance of the congregation here. We thank you, Father, for Randy and for his abilities as well to preach your word here. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with him. Father, we pray for those that as well preach and teach your word around the world. Many are doing so in a difficult situation, in difficult places. We pray, Father, for their continued encouragement. We pray, Father, as we have opportunity that you will help us to be an encouragement to those spreading your word as well. Father, we pray you be the one that will bring us the message this evening. We pray that you give him a ready remembrance of those things that he's prepared, and that we will take those truths, Father, and apply them to our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray as we go through the rest of this evening and throughout the remainder of our lives, Father, we pray that you will continue to guide us in our steps, in our walk, and that you'll help us to have opportunity, Father, to continue spreading your word, and that you will, when this life is over, Father, that you will allow us into heaven, Father, and that be made possible through your Son and through his sacrifice, and it's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Good evening. It's good to be out with everybody today. Tonight, I would like to talk briefly about the prophet Elijah and his faith. And if you would like to turn with me to 1 Kings, we're going to start in chapter 17. I planned to start in 18, but 17 really kind of opens up the whole picture for us here. So I'm going to try to summarize it fairly quickly for us. Elijah goes before Ahab, and he declares that there's going to be a famine in the land. He says, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so he tells Ahab this. And the Lord tells Elijah, go and hide yourself in the brook of Cherith, because it obviously didn't make a lot of people happy. And the Lord provided for him of his needs of the flesh to eat and drink while he was there. And eventually the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the Lord says again, arise, get thee to Zarephath, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he does what the Lord says, and he goes to the city, and there was a widow woman there. And he implores her to help him, and she, although she does not have much, she does help bring him in and help him. And while he's there, her son becomes deathly ill, and to the point where he passes away. And Elijah goes to pleading with the Lord stretches himself over the child three times and pleads that the Lord allow this child to live. And in verse 21, 22, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And in 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. And now we come to chapter 18. And 3 years have passed from the beginning of this famine in the land. And the Lord says it's time. Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. And at the time, Ahab had sent his servant Obadiah to better land so that their animals would survive the drought. But his servant, Obadiah, knew and feared the Lord. He had reverence for him. And so when he finds Elijah along the way, he knows him very well, and he knows that he is a prophet of God, and he wholeheartedly believes that. And Elijah tells Obadiah, go tell your master Ahab that I am here. And Obadiah kind of says, well, why me? Everyone's been hunting you, and they'll kill me if they don't. If you're not where I say that you are. And in verses 15 and 16, Elijah says, don't worry, do what I've asked, and I will be there. He reassures him. And so it took some real faith on Obadiah's part, and even putting his life on the line a bit, not knowing if Elijah's going to keep true to his word, although he has faith. And so Ahab and Elijah meet. And Ahab says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah turns to him and says, no, that's you and your father's house. And he tells him, gather all your prophets of Baal. Take them to Mount Carmel, and so they meet there. And in verse 21 now, Elijah's speaking to the people, and he tells them that you can't follow two masters. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then so be it. And no one answered. Everyone kept silent at this time. And Elijah says, I'm the only one here for the Lord. There's 450 prophets of Baal. And so let us each put a bull on the altar and no fire beneath it, not our own fire. Call on your gods, and I'll call on mine, and let's let the true God answer by fire. And then they spoke, and everyone agreed to this. And they said, of course, like a god should be able to do godly things like that. And so they continue to call on Baal for hours, pleading with him, calling out to him, trying to get his attention to show us the sign that you're real, show us that you're here. And Elijah, it must have looked kind of funny to him, because in verse 27 it says that he mocked them, and he said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and needs to be awakened. And to none of our surprise, there was no answer. They continue to try and get their attention, even by cutting themselves and getting on the altar and trying every way they could. So Elijah let the excitement die down, and he kind of says, well, all right, you've had your chance. Come here, let me show you something. And so he gathers all the people, he repairs the altar of the Lord, and he put 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and he made a great trench around the altar. And they put wood in order and put the bull on the altar. And he told them, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it all over the altar. And so they do. And he says, do it again. And so they do. And he says, do it one more time. And they soak it one more time. And then they fill the trenches up that they had dug around it with water as well. So we'll pick up in verse 37 here of chapter 18. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, O God, that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And at this time, Elijah had all the prophets of Baal gathered up, and he said, don't let one of them escape. And he slew them. And so remember that they're in a famine at this time. There has been no rain for 3 years now. And Elijah kind of tells Ahab, you might want to go on home. There's going to be a lot of rain. And Elijah goes on Mount Carmel, and he prays to God for rain, and God hears him, and he delivers the rain. And now we're in chapter 19. Ahab tells Jezebel of Elijah and what he's done. So Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah, and that basically says that if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow, then let the same happen to me that happened to those prophets. And Elijah hears this, and he flees out of fear. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 19, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah had really come to the end of his will here. He was tired from running. I'm sure he was physically very hungry and thirsty. And we know what that does to us when we get just a little hungry or a little thirsty. Our judgment goes. But he's so much so, and it's built up on him so much, that he's to the point that he wants to end this worldly suffering. And he asks with God, please take my life from me. This is enough. But the Lord had other plans for him. And he says, take a nap and have a snack. Then he's able to go on with that strength for 40 days of traveling. And the Lord continues to take care of him. And we'll pick up here in verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and brake it in pieces, and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord lays out his plan for him very clearly. And then he even adds some reassurance for Elijah in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. He tells us that you are not alone. There are many others. And from here, Elijah goes on to meet Elisha and continue the work. But the point I would like to make from this, or that I'd like us to get from this, is that even with God watching over him physically every step of the way, with miracles and direct signs from the Lord, he got to a place where he would rather die than continue. But the Lord comforts and provides. And just as he did for Elijah, he will do for us. And it might not come from food appearing, although I have to say it really does feel like that sometimes. And it might not be, or it probably won't be, the direct voice of God. But we also have the complete Word of God. And the Lord is very active in our lives, and he gives us constant signs and reminders, if we're willing to look for them, of his watchful hand and his very real presence. No matter what we go through, Christ will watch us, he'll care for us, and he'll guide us on this journey. I'd like to end with one of my favorite passages in Matthew 6, if you'd like to turn there. This has always been one of the most comforting passages for me, because it is very hard for me not to think about tomorrow and what's going on tomorrow. So let's start in verse 25 of chapter 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take ye no thought. That's our goal. That's what we need to strive for, to where we are not worried about what we're going to eat or what we're going to clothe ourselves with or where we're going to stay. We need to be able to give that into the hands of the Lord and trust that he's going to take care of us, just as he takes care of the birds and the grass and every other thing that does not have as much meaning as we do. That comfort does come with a price. But thankfully, Christ has paid that price for us on the cross so that we don't have to worry for the tomorrow. When we devote our life to Christ by being baptized in His blood and walking in His steps, we gain the comfort that no matter what happens tomorrow, we know that we will join Him in paradise one day. Things here really do seem so small when you have eternity in your view. If you haven't made that decision tonight to be baptized in Christ and to walk a new person on this earth, then you have that opportunity tonight. And you can gain that comfort and that security that the Lord provides by being baptized and devoting your life to Christ. If we can help you with that decision or anything else, please come forward as we stand and sing.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant, Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, a prayer and our gifts and sword.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, in the close of our worship service, especially grateful that you are our King, our Father, and nothing can compare to you, and hopeful that our worship is pleasing to you. Thank you for all that you give us, our jobs and homes, our physical things that help us enjoy life here, also the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love, and for salvation through Jesus. Please be with those who are sick to get to better portions of their health, if it be your will. Help us as we strive to be more like you. Please continue to be with all of us and protect us. Be with us as we leave and keep us safe and healthy. Please let us meet here at the next appointed time if it be your will. We know it's by your will that we live or do anything. Thank you for your love and mercy for us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for the remissions of our sins. Through his name we pray. Amen.
Got a great tenor part, doesn't it?
Thank you.